You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, lift, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
Like every other girl, I started dieting at age 16. I started with a program I found online, and I lost like 9 to 12 kilos really fast. Then I gained double in 2 weeks. Then I started this cycle of trying out different diets and gaining more. In 2019, I think, there was this article about macros by Lane Norton.
My coach, we were talking once, he was like, oh, what are you fueling your body with? He was like, if you're eating like crap, you're going to perform like crap. So you have to manage that part of your life. He didn't necessarily give me advice like calories or any of that crazy stuff. He just basically said, eat smart, be intuitive about what you're putting in your body to burn as fuel. That to me weighed more and meant more than the guy that told me, oh, you eat like shit, drop your calories down to 1500.
If you're not forcing it on anybody, and if you're not lying, that's what I hate. Do not say, I look the way that I look because I'm completely natural. No. Be like, I look like this because I take this. Great. Thank you for the disclaimer.
All this and more in today's episode.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of the Project Kuwait. Today, we are joined by Doctora Basma. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Basma Msalem. I'm a faculty member at Kuwait University. This is my day job, and at night I'm usually a typical bro. I have a BFA, MFA, and a PhD in visual communication and design education, and I have a special interest in nutrition.
Perfect. And you've also met Steffi Cohen, am I right?
Yes.
How was
she's
that?
She's amazing. She's amazing. I didn't know that she was this short and this jacked. She's amazing. I love her.
Was it just by chance? Were you at like a convention or?
I was at the Arnold's in 2019 with a friend of mine. So I had a list of all the people that I wanted to meet.
Okay.
And I checked all of them except for one.
Who was that?
Bama Burr.
Okay.
I forgot her name.
Sorry, Doctora Basma, do you have a headset by any chance, like an Apple headset or anything? Because I got a really bad echo that's bleeding in.
Okay, so first thing, tell us about your journey with nutrition. Where did you start and where are you right now?
Okay, like from the very beginning?
Yeah, like talk us through it.
Sure. Like every other girl, I started dieting at age 16. I started with a program I found online and I lost 9 to 12 kilos really fast. And I wasn't even that big. Then I gained double in 2 weeks. Then I started this cycle of trying out different diets and gaining more and then trying to lose them and gaining even more and then losing and then gaining even more. And then in 2019, I think, I went into bodybuilding.com and there was this article about macros.
Okay.
It was by Lane Norton. I love Lane. He's amazing. So, yeah. And I started dabbling into macros and then I think it was 2007. And then I took all the classes I could take as a university student about nutrition. And then they also delved into macros. And in 2014, I reached almost 100 kilos. That's how big I was. And I decided to join CrossFit. Yay. I couldn't do it. Day one, I just couldn't do it, but I really wanted to. So I planned my life around it. I was moving from one town to another. I was in Kent, Ohio, and I was moving to Columbus, Ohio. So I chose the apartment that's closest to the gym, and I chose a coach that I really liked online. And then we started with 6 sessions, and I couldn't do it. I was eating close to nothing at that time because I thought that's what I needed to do. And then I kept fainting during class and she told me that I can't do this anymore. And yeah, I was eating 800 calories.
Oh my God. And you were doing CrossFit?
I know, right?
Are you insane?
Yeah.
Like that's,
I was
that's
insane,
oh
yeah.
My God. Were you doing like 800 calories of paleo also? Like of, you know?
No, 800 calories of cheese and crackers. And then the other day, the following day would be apples, and I love cheese. apples and cheese and codfish. And then the following day would be something else. And then I just decided that I really thought that I needed to increase my protein, which I actually needed. So I started adding protein shakes, but it did not work, of course. So she suggested to go to a nutritionist, and she gradually increased my calories to 1,300, and I kept losing weight, which was amazing. And then I stopped losing weight. It was 59 kilos, and my body fat percentage was 49%. So at that time, I loved Lane Norton.
Yeah, you said you love Lane Norton. You could talk about Lane Norton, then I'm going to go into my experience with Norton.
Oh, God. He's a friend of mine, by the way.
Oh, no way.
Look. I know.
I honestly love the guy. He's pretty much the father of IIFYM, right? I think we can agree on that. He's brought out some great research. His paper on leucine was amazing. The only thing that I've always disagreed with Lane Norton on is a calorie is a calorie. He describes it a lot like a dollar is a dollar, so to speak. And in my opinion, I think that can be argued because a calorie isn't a calorie. You can't say 500 calories from broccoli is the same as 500 calories from McDonald's. That, in my opinion, is just like, but I can see how he is and how he's presented his research and his findings. And the guy isn't dogmatic about what he believes, which is amazing. So it's just, that's the one thing I disagree with him on. But other than that, I think he's a brilliant, brilliant scientist.
I'll send you a podcast where he actually explains what he meant by a calorie is a calorie, because it is energy. So a calorie is a calorie, but if you compare, like, for example, 1 calorie of, like, 1 gram of carbs is always 4 calories. So 1 gram of carbs from bananas or apple doesn't really make any difference. It is still a calorie. So if you're counting macros and you're hitting your protein and you're hitting your older macros and you're hitting your fiber, it doesn't matter if you hit your macros eating all healthy food and sneaking in a Snicker bar or Pop-Tart or whatever it is that you want to eat. And it doesn't really matter if you include these or include something else like whole foods, if you're hitting your fiber, of course, and protein too.
You're smirking.
So a calorie is a calorie.
I'm not. Look, there are two different schools of thought. There's definitely two different schools. Everyone is subject to their opinion and the findings that they've read throughout their research.
And what works for them.
And what works for them, exactly. I think me and Meg, we always disagree on calorie counting. Meg hates it because she thinks it breeds eating disorders, which I totally agree with, because then you can become obsessively compulsive about what you're eating, how you're eating it, taking a scale with you to a restaurant. I mean, Hay has dealt with it with me, where I've been like, we've gone to a birthday party. I'm like, I can't eat. It's not within my macros. It's not within my plan for the day. And I think that's one of the other issues that Meg has with that. But for me, I think counting calories is a good guide and gauge for people to understand overconsumption, which is the biggest problem we have today.
But you plan ahead, don't you?
Like, yes,
from
I
what
do.
I've seen. So like, you take into account all these things that you might do. Okay, we're getting
of
ahead
course.
Of ourselves right now.
I know, right?
Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. So just to clarify, so up until the point that you went to this nutritionist, was this just research that you had done online and you were applying it to yourself, or?
Up until the nutritionist?
Yes.
Up until the nutritionist, I knew all about macros, and I started counting calories first, which didn't work. And then I started counting macros. And up until 1,200 calories, I was on my own. And then I moved to a nutritionist. She gradually increased my calories again. But then I stopped. I stopped improving in the sport. I stopped being myself. I was too tired all the time. Like I said, I was at 49% body fat. It's too much for my size. And I was tired. I couldn't do workouts. I was cramping all the time. It was horrible. And then I started to do reverse dieting. This is where I started reverse dieting. It was, but I didn't do it the right, not really the right. There are two ways to do it. You either gradually increase your calories or have a calorie boost at first and then gradually increase, or do like increase all of a sudden from like 500 or 600 calories or even 700 calories. And this is what I did because I was under eating at that time. So I jumped to 2000 calories.
From 1300 to 2000, like.
Yes. Yes. And I gained 2 kilos in 2 days. And then I dropped 4 the following week.
Okay.
Which was amazing. I just didn't know how it happened. I still don't know how it happened. like, for example, I have 8 clients that are doing reverse dieting. Half of them are losing weight. The other half are either gradually increasing or maintaining their weight. And it's weird. Like, I know the strategy of how to do reverse dieting, but the way the body reacts to it is completely different. But yeah. So I gained 2 and I dropped 4 and I started gradually increasing, but I was increasing the good type of weight. I was increasing muscle and I kept increasing and kept increasing. And then all hell broke loose and I gained a lot. And then I did another fat loss and then I did a reverse and now we're here.
So throughout your experience, like, what advice would you give to someone who's in the same boat as you right now? Like, what have you learned with your journey that, like, you're like, if I were to tell myself the first time around, this is what I should have done, what would that be?
Take it slow. Think about your main goal. Don't sacrifice what you want as an outcome for what you need right now, what you want right now. If you gained the weight in 10 years, don't expect to lose it in 2 weeks. My advisor used to say, take it bird by bird, which is block by block or one step at a time. So that's the main advice I'd ask of anyone. We don't need this all or nothing mentality. We can take things slow. Eventually, we'll reach our goal.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of conversations I've been having lately is about patience. So many people want these results so quickly. And if it doesn't happen within a couple of days, they're like, nope, I'm out. I'd rather go and eat under 800 calories than eat a little bit more and fuel my body and mentally be there. Because then you just end up binging. You end up getting fatigued. You don't have the energy to anything. Mm-hmm. And you also start obsessing about food. Yeah. And it's just like I've been there where it's like I start daydreaming about just things that I quote unquote can't have. Because as soon as you put them in that box of no, I can't have this, it becomes all consuming.
Mm-hmm. I started binge watching cooking shows when I was cutting.
Oh, wow.
that was your fix.
I couldn't eat it. I might as well do something and watch it or cook for other people. So, it worked.
So I'm curious, and I want to go back to reverse dieting because I think that's something that people aren't very familiar with, especially here in Kuwait, because it hasn't hit the mainstream market, and God help us when it does. Because I can tell you right now, all the nutritionists in Kuwait are going to be like, oh, reverse diet, because now we're just getting over the keto phase where I think every nutritionist has been like, all right, keto this, keto that, and half of them have done it wrong anyways because they've been deficient in fat, prescribing like their fat. But with reverse dieting, because I did reverse dieting because at one point I started gaining weight like crazy and then I started losing weight and then gaining weight. And I was like, all right, well, what can I do? And it clicked in when I started losing the most weight. I mean, I used to weigh 120 kilos. And Haya remembers this. I was eating a ton of food. I would just eat a ton of food, but I was eating the right foods. My protein intake went up, which was first thing. My fat intake kind of like went down a little bit, but my consumption of food increased and my macros increased probably by 500 calories, 600 calories. And then all of a sudden it was like a miracle. I started maintaining at my optimal level. And since then, I have maintained, even when I have the so-called cheat weeks or I'm not very cautious about what I'm fueling my body with, I'm still maintaining that homeostasis my body really likes. And I think it's because I've trained my body to burn the fuel, you know, so to speak. Yeah. And how was it for you? Was it a long road or did you kind of figure it out intuitively?
Reverse dieting. So when I started reverse dieting, I knew exactly what I was doing this time, not last time. I was doing a fat loss phase. And when I ended in a very low caloric intake, and I knew exactly that I needed to reverse. So before reversing, I contacted, again, my Elaine team. And I hired a nutritionist from their team to actually make me do the reverse. I knew how to do it myself, but I needed someone to push me because going from the fat loss mentality to reverse and being okay with increasing your calories and mentally eating more and expecting to gain weight sometimes is hard. So I had to hire them and be okay with the weight gain and everything. And once I crossed the 2000 calorie point, I was okay on my own. The best part about it is my relationship with food, it's so much better. I'm so much more looser when it comes to calories and macros. I can eat whatever I want. I don't need to bring my scale everywhere, which is amazing. I guess to me, and eyeball things and just write them in my fitness file. And now I'm using Carbon App, which is amazing. Also, Eileen. Not a paid advertisement. Yeah.
I know, right? Did they actually pay you to come on this show? I mean,
no. I just love them this much.
But I love that you talk about Lane because he's such a proven professional. And when you look at these goddamn fashionistas or whatever the hell they're called that sell these bullshit diet plans, Hey had brought it up to me about like the 1,300 calories and 1,000 calories and
700 calories.
How can
they're
you survive?
Eating 700 calories a day.
You're just slowing your body down.
I don't know. I'm surprised. I've been there. I know how it feels. And for someone, it triggered me actually when I saw someone eating 700 calories for 10 days and then binge eating for a day. This is not healthy. This is promoting eating
100%
disorder.
Yeah, 100%. Like you were just talking about how your journey has now led you to a place where you're comfortable with food. So you're not scared of it. It's not, that's the place that you want to be in mentally. But then you see their pages and it's all before and afters. And look at how much weight I lost with this much on the scale. No, stop. Stop. How about you talk about
this is
how
not their before and after. Wait a couple of months and see how they look like.
Yes.
It's not maintainable. They can't maintain their weight in this much calories. It's horrible.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. We've actually rejected companies that have talked to us in the past because they were weight loss companies. And we were like, no, you know, it doesn't align with our values as a brand. And we try to be as authentic as possible. And you know, dietitians and trainers don't like that in Kuwait because we technically police them sometimes. And, you know, and I get more hate mail from trainers than I do anyone else, which is pretty cool. But now these nutritionists, because it seems like you've tried a lot of different nutritionists globally and not just... Now, what could you say about the difference between nutritionists here in the Middle East and nutritionists in the United States?
The difference, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Personal difference. No, but Lane is completely different. I mean, Lane is a proven scientist. You know, the guy's written papers on stuff. These nutritionists here.
I've seen a lot. I've been with a lot of nutritionists business-wise. But so me being a client to a nutritionist in Kuwait, I didn't really have a lot of bad experiences except for two. One started me on a 500 calorie detox. Yeah. And he nicknamed me, what was his nickname? We were two. One of them was Sumna Mufrita and the other one was Sumna Mumita. That's what he called us, not even by our names.
What?
He's still doing that. Yeah.
Oh, he was horrible.
He was horrible. And he put me on a 500 calorie diet for 10 days. And then when I came losing only 4 kilos, he blamed me and said that I was cheating, even though I was actually eating 500 calories. He was horrible. And the other one put me on a 1,200 calorie. The 1,200 calorie thing needs to die. Like, I don't know why they put us on 1,200 calories. All of us do. I just don't know why. But then again, there are a lot of good ones. I went with Ahmed Liri. He was amazing. He actually gives us food to fuel ourselves and thrive and exercise and move more. And he would prescribe movement as well, like move more, exercise, have a good relationship with food. He's amazing. And then Abdulaziz Shahab as well. He was amazing. He actually reversed me to 2,700 calories at one point. He's amazing. He's really good. Those are the ones in Kuwait. In the States, I've been with two nutritionists. No, actually three. Biolane team and Kate.
Thought it was going to be another Biolane after that.
Actually, she was his client at one point. I didn't know. I swear I didn't know. So they were all good. I can't say all of them are good, but that was my experience. So there's the good and bad in every country.
Do you think that nutritionists here, specifically in the Middle East, and I won't just say Kuwait, even though I totally mean Kuwait, don't know how to stay in their lane? because I've seen it more and more over the last 6 months, 7 months, where nutritionists now are almost acting like doctors and giving medical advice when they are not licensed medical doctors. And when us on the show, and we always say this, is we're not licensed doctors. What we say is general knowledge for a better, healthier life. So would you say that, have you seen the same thing that I've been seeing the last 6 or 7 months, where it's just like, they're all going too sciencey, and they're just, in my opinion, they're just not staying in their lane?
Here's my experience. So when I went to my first nutritionist in the States, she actually gave me a disclaimer. I am not a dietitian. I cannot prescribe you a diet. I can give you suggestions, and these are my suggestions. And she would give me suggestions. She would actually give me a macros, but she needed to say that those were suggestions, not a diet. In Kuwait, there are some good dietitians that say they're lame. Some of them don't. What I'm more, let's say, upset about are non-nutritionists giving nutrition advice than nutritionists giving medical advice. There are a lot of non-nutritionists. Yeah.
I love it. You're being so diplomatic. Look, you're a power lifter. You don't have to be. You're a power lifter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys
not
don't
really,
have
I
to
just
be.
Bench.
You just bet.
You're still a powerlifter.
Yeah, you don't have to be diplomatic about anything. I mean, you guys are...
I'm not really diplomatic, but really, we have a lot of people that claim to be nutritionists when they're not, and they shouldn't.
No.
What about your... What's your take on trainers giving out nutritional advice?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. If they know what they're doing, I don't mind. Some of them are a bit very well-versed and... nutrition, they've taken certificates, they've attended conferences and so on. So they actually know what they're doing, but they can't really, a lot of them are giving very crappy advice, which I don't appreciate. So for a nutrition, for a trainer to give another 1200 calorie diet is not really something that I'd appreciate. Let me give you an example. I have a coach and I've been with that coach for close to 11 months now, actually more. So it's been a while. And when I started doing my fat loss, he actually had to tell me to start eating more and so I can see results. And he actually pulled me to the right direction, which is why I started doing a reverse diet. That's something I'd appreciate for a trainer to do. But to actually give me advice on what to eat and so on, if they're not well-versed, that's not really... If I was a trainer, that's not something I'd do.
No.
Yeah, no, that's true.
A lot of them... It's a copy-paste program.
Yeah,
the same thing they just give to every single person.
I always say this, a trainer in a gym, the guys who sell their... Basically, they have to sell their image. They probably have the worst diets of all. They're probably eating boiled chicken and boiled rice every day and not really living a normal life because that's their job. That's their image. They sell their image as part of it. Versus, and I like to name drop my coach all the time, and my coach... This conversation happened a long time ago and it stuck with me. We were talking once. He was like, oh, well, what are you eating? What are you fueling your body with? He was like, if you're eating like crap, you're going to perform like crap. So you have to manage that part of your life. He didn't necessarily give me advice. Like he didn't give me calories or any of that crazy stuff. He just basically said, eat smart, be intuitive about what you're putting in your body to burn as fuel. That to me weighed more and meant more than the guy that told me, oh, you eat like shit, drop your calories down to 1500. I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm operating on 1500 calories.
Exactly.
I did
have
speaking
a new, of eating like
yeah,
shit.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
I had a very shitty experience with one of the coaches in Kuwait. He asked me about my macros. I think it was back in 2015. And he told me that what I was doing was wrong and I should increase my fat intake to 110 grams. And
wow.
Being naive, I actually did that.
That's
and I had my gallbladder removed. He didn't even ask about that. And I had a very shitty 2 days because of his advice. Yeah. So yeah, they need to stay in their lane if they're not well-versed.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I think as an athlete right now, right? Like you have your coach, you have your physio, you have your this, you have your that. People need a team around them. It's just you can't have one person that you can go to for every single thing that you need because they're not going to have all that information. And so you kind of need to look around for like, okay, this person is going to do my program. This person is going to help me with my nutrition. This person's going to help me with this part. But don't try to look for it in one person because it's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's what I was, what I'm doing right now. I have a physio, I have a nutritionist. Well, I had a nutritionist. Now I'm doing my own thing. And I have a trainer. So they're all working together. Back to Mehdi's point, I had one coach that was doing both my nutrition, actually all three, nutrition, rehab, and training. It did not work well at all. It's not a takeout menu. You can't just be like, here, if you need this, here's that. And if you need this, here, it doesn't work that way.
You're lucky. I know some guys where they were getting nutrition, programming, other advice, and then their drug advice from their trainer on what steroids to take and how many milligrams. And, you know, these guys now, the one that I know, he was in his early 40s. He was taking high doses of testosterone, not prescribed by a doctor. And I saw him a couple months ago. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. He retired from where I work. Then I saw him a couple months ago and he just looked completely different. I barely recognized him because of all the changes that had taken place in his body after he dropped off of the roids and went back to eating normal. And it was just, I felt bad for him because he was just giving shitty advice.
Yeah, that's bad. I was having a conversation with one of my followers. He's 16. He just started with I'm very glad he started with a good coach now, but his previous coach gave him testosterone.
Oh, wow. Steroids. He's 16? Yeah, he's 16. Wait, he's 16 and his coach gave him testosterone. Oh my God.
I am serious.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
Yeah, I got really pissed. And I kept asking, why are you doing this? Well, this person on social media is talking freely about steroids and this other person is talking about steroids and all their athletes look good. So why am I doing this? Why shouldn't I do this? So I don't know what to say. Like, it's a shitty situation. A lot of people are doing things they're not supposed to do. So what can we do?
I'm curious, what's the steroid situation with females? Because I've heard that steroids are like coming into the scene a lot harder amongst the female Kuwaitis. But besides the bodybuilders for weight loss, like I heard it's turning into a very hot thing at gyms where women are, you know, taking Winstrol, Anavol, there was another one, but that it's moving into the scene. Have you heard anything of that? Have you seen that from your experience also?
Yeah, it depends on the gym and which coach you're talking to. So there are some female coaches that actually, let's say, prescribe Anavar with their program.
That was the one I was, that's
I
the one.
I said the A one.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I had a conversation with one body. I'm hypermobile, very hypermobile. So I was talking to one of the coaches, actually. I can't say, a coach and a bodybuilder. He was like, you know what? If you take 10 milligrams of Anavar every day, your problem will be fixed. So it's there. It's available. It's like candy. Everyone has access. But
I mean, just make informed decisions. That's it. When we have the steroids conversation, I'm very much the kind of person where I don't care what you do, especially if you're not forcing it on anybody and if you're not lying. That's what I hate. Do not say, I look the way that I look because I'm completely natural. No. Be like, I look like this because I take this. Great. Thank you for the disclaimer. But
I've been open about it. I tried steroids when I was younger. I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. And it was an epiphany moment where I was like, I'm not competing professionally. I'm not doing anything professionally. It's not worth it.
Exactly. But for a 16-year-old to take steroids because someone else is taking it, that's just crazy. But back to women and Anavar in Kuwait, I had a conversation with someone and she was saying that this coach told her to go sub 19% body fat. She needed Anavar, which is not true, but they're giving false advice to their athletes, which is horrible. It is what it is.
Now, I mean, you post a lot, and hey, I brought this up earlier. You post a lot on body image, okay? And the female bodybuilder is not per se the image that women want because the female bodybuilder is ripped, jacked, and
but it depends. Like, are
but she's not glorified through the male gaze.
But no, but are you looking at like the Nikki Black letters and like that kind of bodybuilder shape?
I'm looking at like the fashion, the influencers you see that go to the gym and they produce all these programs. Because look, let's face it, there are a lot of women that don't want to look like someone on a stage. Because women on a stage, I mean, they look completely different. Their bodies go through an immense amount of transformations. And Some of that affects them emotionally, physically, long term. It's a sport. Bodybuilding is a sport. But then you have the women that look at the images they see online and whatever. And you've posted about that in the past. So can you talk about that? And can you talk about the, I don't want to lift weights because I don't want to bulk, when in reality, we know weightlifting is probably the smartest thing you can do in a gym. Can you talk about that? The image that is portrayed online to women of the two worlds. And in reality, they're still given the same wheelhouse crap of just go on the cardio machine versus go and lift some weights. It's going to be better for your body. And then the women say, oh, I don't want to bulk up and look like this lady on the stage. So what do you think is the happy medium for women to follow when they're looking for something that won't affect them psychologically long term?
Okay, I'm going to break into two parts. So body image is a social construct. We've been conditioned to be small and thin and quote unquote feminine. And to be feminine, you should not lift weight because you're going to get bulky. That's the construct. But in reality, what you as a person, like what I experienced, is that lifting weight gave me confidence, improved my mental health, which I talk a lot about. It improved me physically. Let me give you an example. Before reverse dieting and after reverse dieting and while picking up more volume, I lost 2 inches off my waist while increasing my calories to by 1,200 calories. That's not something that we see people talking about. It's not something that's normal. Women have been conditioned that doing more cardio and decreasing your calories would be better for you because you're going to get smaller. But that's not how it is. If you want to look better, if you want to fit a social construct, that's what they think, you need more cardio. But what I experienced is that when I lift more weight, I have more confidence in myself. I have more confidence in my body. To me, I look better, and that's what I need to do. But I don't know how to explain this to women. I still get the same questions. I need to reduce my belly fat. What exercise do I need to do? I need to spot reduce. I need to burn more calories. Hey, I just bought this tea. It says it reduces fats. It's just weird stuff. Oh my God. Let me listen to this. I spent 4 hours explaining to someone what a proper diet should look like. And she came back after a month and a half saying that she lost 6 kilos, which is amazing. She was obese. She's like, oh my God, I lost 6 kilos, which is amazing. And now I need to do 1 week of detox and then switch to keto. So I don't know how to explain to people, not just women, that consistency is what works. Mental health and physical health is what works for you. It's not like body image. When we talk about body image, it's not just our body. It's how we look at ourselves. It's how others perceive body image. And it's very complicated. So we need to start with ourselves.
100%.
What do you think?
No, 100%. Like, I've always been a proponent of the fact that women are always trying to take up as little space as possible. And the whole sentence with, I don't want to bulk. First of all, don't make bulking seem like it's a horrible thing. Like, to build up that much muscle, a lot of work. Like, I once had some people tell me when, before their broken arm, that my arms were disgusting. And it was like, F you, do you know how long it took me to get them to look like this?
Exactly.
So it's just,
I wake up every day ensuring that I still have triceps. Like, first thing I do in the morning, look in the mirror, okay, triceps, biceps. It takes a while to build stuff.
No, but it's just like, whatever, like whether you want to bulk, whether you want to slim down, whatever shape that you want to have, it needs to be normalized at this point. It's whatever makes you comfortable and it doesn't feel like it's being pressured from the outside. I don't know if you follow Fatma Al-Ghatfan, drama therapist, Kuwait.
Yes, she's amazing, yeah.
No, like, we need more of her and her content. And that is something that really deconstructs a lot of these images and everything. Yeah. That's all that you can do. Just keep talking about it.
I was having a conversation with someone and she was talking about someone else. She's like, oh my God, does she understand how big she is? It's disgusting. It's like, why is this even a conversation? Let people be whoever they want to be, the size they want, and do whatever they want to do. Why would you? The conversation was not even about her size, but she made it a point that her size is big, but yeah, this is why she's not good. No, that's not how it works. But we have a lot of complicated social stigma about fat. And the thing is, we all have fat. It's not really, it shouldn't really be a thing. But at the same time, like mentally, I'm trying to struggle. I struggle with this notion. I keep thinking, like, why am I so afraid of increasing my calories? I'm at 2400 right now and I'm not gaining fat. I'm gaining muscle, but this number on the scale still freaks me out. And it's something that we've been conditioned from at a young age, that the number on the scale actually matters. No one's going to ask about how much we weigh, yeah. But it is what it is.
It's funny because since quarantine started, I think the first week or 2 weeks, I looked at, hey, I was like, oh, man, I need a scale. Like I've been eating, like, I feel like I bloated. I feel like I'm all out of whack because my food was out of whack. So I was bloated. I just wasn't feeling well. And it was funny because I stepped on the scale and I weighed exactly the same as I did 3 months ago. And I was like, how perception can screw with your mind just based on when you think you're not doing something right, but in reality, your body's just doing it right naturally. And it's funny because you say that about women and the body image of the scale and everything. Men go through the same thing. I think guys go through it a lot worse because if you're not filling out your t-shirt with your biceps, if you've got small calves like myself, it becomes obsessive, you know, and you're just trying to build your calves your entire life. But guys go through very much the same thing. And I think one thing that I've really learned, and it's taken me a while to understand, is it's not how I look, it's how I perform in the sport that I like to engage in. I'm in CrossFit. I like to be, do the whole CrossFit thing. I like to do it competitively. And performance is key. And when I knock down my calories, my performance goes down like dramatically. And I've been to one dietitian here who I really thought she was great. She's been on the show, Lulua. She came on a while back and she actually had my calories pretty high based on my activity levels, based on what I was doing, protein intake, everything, which was great. That was good to see from her. But in general, I mean, guys go through the same thing. It's tough. And I think if the mindset was how you perform versus how you look, I think people would be acting a lot different.
Yeah. That's one thing I like about, I only do bench, but let's say powerlifting.
So wait, do you bench 5 times a week? Just out of curiosity.
4 times. I'm a typical bro, chest day every day.
Awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's based on your body. That's how you can elicit change. I mean, there was the bro split that you had to give your muscles a rest. And a lot of research has come out that said it's bullshit. And even BioLand has talked about it's bullshit too.
Yeah, daily undulating periodization. Yeah. So the shift I like with powerlifting, even with CrossFit, what I liked actually was the shift in mentality from actually focusing on myself, how I look, to my numbers and how I can produce bigger numbers and have bigger volume, which is great. I love that. So this actually helped with body image because we're shifting our mentality. I love that. Speaking of CrossFit, I used to do a lot of CrossFit before shifting to bench only.
And now you realize where the real fun is.
Hey, I'm looking for a new sport. I might have to shift over to powerlifting, but I'm not strong enough. I tell Hay all the time.
I didn't know how it happened. Well, actually, I know how it happened. I had a coach from Westside Barbell. So my nutritionist at that time said, after knowing that I had 49% body fat, she said that I needed more muscle. So she put me on a program of 3 days of CrossFit and 3 days of powerlifting with that Westside Barbell guy. And then those 2 days turned into 3 days, and then 3 days of CrossFit, and then 4 days of powerlifting, and 2 days of CrossFit, and then it's 4 days, and then 1 day of conditioning. Then I did just CrossFit. I loved it. I love powerlifting.
It's a real sport. What?
Look,
who said that? I'm joking.
It's probably one of the more true sports out there because it's like, can you lift the weight or not? That's it. It's not like hitting a baseball or shooting a basketball. It's like, dude, you walk up to the bar and if you can do it, great.
Exactly.
Just competing with yourself. Like, if I'm walking up, I want to win a competition. I'm not.
But I like the CrossFit community better sometimes.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, it depends on the day. And the gym. Some gyms. What I like is how members can learn from each other in a CrossFit community. And it's not the same with powerlifting because everyone has their own program, except for Westside. We used to have a crew. So morning crew would do something and we would learn from each other. That this is my PhD on. This is my PhD topic, actually. We learn in a community. But it was great. Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's great. It was, in all honesty, it was awesome having you on the show, and I hope you'll come back on. It was a great conversation, to be honest with you.
Awesome. And I'm glad it was fun too, from my side.
It's good to find a Lane Norton fan in Kuwait, to be honest with you.
I mean, I love him.
He's great.
I really do.
Look, his research is awesome. He is great. The only thing that I just disagree on based on my research and personal opinion and preference is the calorie is a calorie. We can argue about this till tomorrow. You know what I mean? And you can bring up research articles. I can bring up research articles. At the end of the day, it comes down to a self-belief. But Lane Norton really did a lot of revolutionary things when it came to bodybuilding and IIFYM, counting calories, macros, reverse dieting. He's pretty much the father of IIFYM and reverse dieting.
Which, yeah, he is.
And he's a badass bodybuilder and powerlifter too.
I know, right? Did you see his show? His last show, it was recorded. There's a whole documentary on his website.
No, I didn't see it, but I know he's a badass. Like I saw him rip like 600 and something off the ground. I was like, Jesus. And he's a bodybuilder too. So, and he's clean, right? Or he says he's
yes,
clean.
Yes, he is.
He says he's always clean.
He is clean. And his wife is clean too. Both are. They're amazing. I think if you two talk to each other, you would find out that you both have the same idea about what calorie is and what he means about a calorie is a calorie.
Maybe.
You did reach out, didn't you, for an interview?
No, not to Lane Norton. Okay. No, not to Lane Norton. Plus, he's like, that dude's like, he's out there. Like, he ain't going to give anyone the time of day. Like, you're lucky if you get Lane Norton on your show.
We had him for 5 days in Kuwait in 2017.
No way, really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, wow.
He had 3 seminars and 2 powerlifting camps.
No way, really? Uh-huh. I had no idea he came to Kuwait. All right, our chances just went up. If the guy visited Kuwait, he might want to come back. So, but dude, that's awesome. And again, it's cool that you're very well educated in that realm because not a lot of people are, especially in the powerlifting field. But thank you so much for coming on.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram @ The Project Kuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.